Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, with Jay Tross on the board, Jeff Reed, producer for the program, and we are here for you, whatever you like, we do for you. So glad to be with you this evening. A full slate of issues. I always have more stuff than I actually get to. Because things are happening so quickly, but we will do our best to navigate the issues that are present and to do so by holding them up to the Word of God. We are in the middle or toward the latter part of our effort to come alongside India Partners and to reach out to you, our listeners and supporters, to join us in serving the little boys and little girls in India who unfortunately end up trafficked for sex. Young boys and girls as young as 8 years old, sometimes find themselves in the throes of sex trafficking rings. Well, India Partners is a ministry that is on the ground in Mumbai to rescue little children from the red light districts in the nation of India. Many of you have heard some of the horrible stories about red light districts and about the things that happen in India. Sex trafficking serves as a modern iteration of slavery that is happening right now. You know, slavery isn't something that just happened in the years gone by. It is happening right now. And we at American Family Association, we want to do something about it. And so we want to give you that opportunity to do so. So to that end, we're asking for you to do whatever you can. If the Lord is leading you, you're hearing this information, to do whatever you can to rescue a little boy or a little girl. $7.08 provides one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light areas of Mumbai, India. $50 provides about a week of safety. $100 provides about 2 weeks. $212 provides about 2 months. $640 provides about 3 months. And $2,500 provides about a year of safety for a child. And I know there are some of you who are in this audience. You can do the $2,500. Some of you is in this audience who are in this audience, you can do the $7. Whatever you can, we're asking, would you join us in ministering to these to these young children? If you are willing to do so, you can call the number 877-616-2396. The number again is 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com and give right there online securely. Some of you may be asking, how does a child that young end up in something like that? There are many different ways, but what often happens is that some of the older, I'll say people, because oftentimes it's young girls themselves who are already involved in prostitution in the red light areas, well, they end up having children. And the traffickers keep the adults or the older child indebted to them and then basically takes their children as payment and says, well, you're in debt to me. I've been providing this and that for you. So now you have to give me your child. And so they have to work too. And when they say work, they don't mean, you know, work as many of us think about it. They mean sex work. And so that, and it just becomes a self-perpetuating cycle repeated over and over and over again. Last year, thank God, we were able, with your help, to come alongside India Partners and build a brand new dormitory-style facility for the young girls and to expand it, I should say. This year, we're endeavoring to build one for the little boys in Mumbai, India. So your gifts will aid us in accomplishing those tasks. So would you consider that? Prayerfully consider joining us in that effort. We're coming to the latter part of this campaign, but we're coming to you with this every day because it's a critically pressing issue. This is happening right now. You know, many of us go to sleep and we wake up and we're enjoying our lives here in America when there are people all over the world who are suffering, in particular these little children in India that we are seeking to help. So would you consider doing so? 877-616-2396 or go to AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com and you can give right there securely online. Well, now we're going to turn to the Word of God and we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read verses 1 through 7. And this kind of sparked from some conversations we were having earlier this week on the program, and I think this is a good opportunity just to revisit some of these kind of fundamental things in the Word of God. So remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing his letter to the Corinthian church where he had labored in evangelizing and making disciples, stood there for numerous years making disciples. And so once he got away from there, he was made aware of some issues that were percolating in the Corinthian church. And so he wrote his epistles in an effort to address these issues. And one of the issues that he sought to address in 1 Corinthians 12, there's an extensive discussion about spiritual gifts. But then Paul concludes that conversation by saying, and now I will show you a more excellent way. And so we'll pick up there. I'll read it first and then I'll go back and make some comments on it. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. Here we go. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, I've referred to this before, but I'm going to do it again now just to make sure everybody is caught up to speed together in the audience. When Paul starts off chapter 13, the transition from the last statement of chapter 12, and remember, in the original manuscripts, there are no chapter and verse demarcations. Those are modern organizational efforts to aid us in navigating the scripture in our modern time. But when transitioning from his thought process in chapter 12, moving on to chapter 13, Paul makes that transition by saying, now I will show you still a more excellent way when he begins to discuss love. And then he goes into this. If I speak in tongues and men of and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I've said this before. When Paul says this, he is drawing from the Old Testament requirement for the priests, especially the high priests, to have around their garments at the base of the high priestly robe, the interlinearly woven, alternatively woven, I should say, a pomegranate and a bell. You had a pomegranate and a bell all woven around the base of the priest's garment. The reason why it's there, and you can go to Exodus chapter 28, verses 33 through 34 to cross-reference what I'm talking about. You see, the Lord spoke to Moses to say this is the requirement for the high priestly garment. The reason why the Lord said that, because he desired there to be a certain sound to emanate from Aaron's robe as he ministered before the Lord. He specifically said that there would be a certain sound that would emanate from around the wardrobe. You can think about it this way. When you have stringed instruments like pianos, the way that you hear your notes is that there's a hammer that strikes a string, but the hammer has a mallet that kind of buffers the striking of the hammer on the string so that you don't get these sounds, but you get smooth notes. Well, Paul is saying that if we don't have love to go alongside with all of these giftings, our endeavors to minister will be as a clanging cymbal, a sounding brass. Why is that? Because the pomegranate around the base of the priest's garment represented the character, the internal heart condition, the love that was always meant to accompany the cymbal. The cymbal was a representation of the gift. So there must always be in God's economy for his ministers, character and gift. And the character actually should supersede the gift. This is why the Lord said, even also through Apostle Paul, that we don't elevate neophytes to leadership prematurely. Why? Because although they may be gifted, they may not yet have the character to sustain that gift. When we see people fall over and over and over again, it's not because they're not gifted. Oh no, the gifts are present. But the love and the character that's necessary to accompany the gift is often in a stunted growth phase or state. All right? So Paul is saying that when you have all of these gifts and things flowing and you don't have the character to sustain them, it's as if the pomegranate is removed between the bells at the base of the priest's garment. So when the priest attempts to go forward, all you hear is the clanging, noisy banging, resounding gongs. And when I read this scripture, I always get struck by the fact that Paul even says that even those who give their bodies to be burned but have not love, and that would always, you know, flummox me, saying, how could that be? But when you think about the era that Paul is writing in, because Christianity was gaining steam in this era, and so people start to think, oh, so you're really deep if you submit yourself to martyrdom. And so the thing that led some people to offer their bodies to be burned wasn't because their commitment to Christ, that they wouldn't capitulate in the face of great threat and danger. There were some who thought, oh, I want to be a bigwig in the faith, so let me go and say, hey, yeah, I'll volunteer to be martyred to make sure everybody thinks that I'm a real dope Christian. And that kind of stuff still happens today. Still happens today. So Paul is zeroing in on that, especially in this Corinthian church where they had gifts in abundance, where Paul is saying that, listen, you can think you're rocking and rolling, but if you don't have the character to sustain the gift, if your gifts are not accompanied by character, you are having nothing. You are doing nothing of eternal impact, nothing of any significance. That's why Paul says, like in verse 3 that I just referred to, if I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, if I give away all I have, the person who receives what I give, of course, they gain something. But the Lord is saying that if you do so from an ulterior motive, a motive that is not spurred on by love, you get no benefit from that gift. And then I'm going to go down further, because the unfortunate thing in our time, that there are many conversations about love, but the conversations don't discuss love from a biblical standpoint. It is a conversation about love that has simply embraced the romantic comedy view of love. In the midst of all of these characteristics that exemplify love, you have this wonderful admonition right here in verse 6, where the Apostle Paul writes that love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Other translations say that love does not delight in evil. But rejoices with the truth. I mentioned this yesterday. The world would attempt to impose upon the church a definition of love that is foreign to the scripture. That would say, if you really love, then you will passively accept anything that is presented your way. And because you are hamstrung by your Christian commitment to love, you're not supposed to say anything. That is not a biblical definition of love. The Bible tells us that our fathers discipline us because of love. Love will cause me to get my hiney spanked by my father because of love. Now, that cuts against the modern understanding of this squishy, mamby-pamby, passive acceptance of all things. Lovingly warning somebody gently warning somebody is a demonstration of love. Jeff showed me he loved me this morning by saying, Abe, I need to talk to you about something. That was an example to me of Jeff's love for me. It's not because he hates me that he would correct me. It's because he loves me. And so I simply wanted to share this within the context of the conversation about the pomegranate and the bell in hopes of communicating the Lord's desire is that we remain with a Holy Spirit-induced, biblically grounded understanding of love, and that we allow that to drive our engagement. I say it all the time. This doesn't give us license to be obtuse, to be belligerent, to be intentionally hurtful or insulting, but we nevertheless, because of the love of God, we must tell men the truth. The Bible says, behold Jesus, full of what? Mercy and what? Truth. There can be no love without truth.
There's a new sheriff in town. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. President Trump did not stop after he declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel. He also said Jerusalem is off the table, which means it will no longer be included in negotiations during the Middle East peace talks. Trump admonished the Palestinians for disrespecting the U.S. by refusing to meet with Vice President Mike Pence during his recent visit to the Middle East. Trump also put full responsibility on the Palestinian government to come to the peace talks. He even said if their leaders refuse to seek peace, U.S. aid to the Palestinians will be cut off. Between 2012 and 16, the U.S. gave about $1.7 billion to the Palestinian Authority. However, the Palestinians turn around and funnel a significant portion of that money to reward the families of terrorists. We are grateful it's a new day in the Middle East and especially for Israel. Learn more at lc.org.
When it comes to the issue of trafficking, it's not just girls that we're talking about. Truth is that even boys are at risk.
We'd be on the bed doing the wrong things.
In Mumbai, India, in the red light districts, there are young men like Najish.
I rolled over several times and broke many bones. This scar here on my forehead, this scar is from that night.
It happens every day, and it must stop. And it can. That is why American Family Radio and India Partners are teaming up to provide a safe house outside the city where young boys are rescued. With your gift of just $7.08, you provide a day of safety and shelter at a new India Partners safe house. Coming up here on American Family Radio, we're going to show you how your gifts can rescue a boy and make this new safe house a reality. Learn more at AFR.net.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
Do you have anything difficult in your life? Something that's facing you right now that is just too difficult for you? It may be impossible for you. It's not impossible for Him. And He wants to do a miracle in your life today.
Find real hope when you discover the power of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shree on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Yesterday I mentioned that the Senate, you know, nothing going on too much except, people taking shots at our republic as often as they can. I talked about the Senate reaching a deal, high five, Chuckie Duck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, woohoo, besties, reaching a deal to fund the government, not just to get past the current shutdown with a temporary stopgap spending measure to go to March 23rd like the House passed. Oh, no, not enough for them. They want to do a big, big old ball of wax for 2 years. Count them, dos años. That's correct. That would include getting rid of the budgetary spending caps. That will include $100 billion additionally in disaster relief aid and $63 billion just in this current fiscal year. For non-defense spending. Oh, and of course, yes, an increase in spending for our military. Got to get the conservatives in with spending for our military. But the not-so-secret that's not many people were talking about is that that two-year proposal included in it a suspension of the debt ceiling. Mm-hmm. That there would be no limit to the amount of money that the federal government could borrow. And that was, of course, with us being, $22 trillion in debt, and that not including the unfunded mandates. What's a couple billion trillion between friends, eh? Well, they didn't expect a small bump in the road called Rand Paul. Rand Paul put a little in their plans because Rand Paul says, guys, we got to have some fiscal sanity. And, you know, I was so glad to see that because at least somebody in Congress is saying that it's probably not a good idea to just rack up debt beyond our capacity to pay it continuously. So Rand Paul delayed their vote to where they expected to be able to vote this thing out of the Senate and pass it on to the House early this afternoon. But Rand Paul is demanding a vote on an amendment that he's proposing to put back into the Senate bill restoration of spending caps. So with Rand Paul's suggested amendment, that most likely the vote to keep the government open in the Senate based on the spending bill won't take place until 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, which would be after the government runs out of money for this current temporary CR. So that's something to keep our eyes on. I got a lot to get to, but I just wanted to mention that to you so that you could be aware of it, to watch and see what happens, to see whether or not fiscal sanity is still a part of the Republican Party's platform. Not in writing, of course it's there in writing, but in practicality, in application, that's the question. And the Senate's deal also is in jeopardy because on the House side, you have Nancy Pelosi and her regressive caucus. Yeah, I just gave them a name, the regressive caucus, that they're demanding that the current funding measure, in order for them to vote for it, that it has to include protection for Dreamers. And then you have the Freedom Caucus saying that, listen, we're not down with this unlimited runaway spending, so we won't vote for the Senate's measure the way that it's crafted currently. So that's something to keep our eyes on. And then, of course, we talked about the Pfizer memo from Devin Nunes, but I have not yet spoken on this program yet about the wonderful offering from Senators Chuck Grassley and Lindsey Graham, where they have a wonderful little memo where they detail with great specificity how Christopher Steele straight up lied to the FBI, and the FBI knew it, yet they still presented him to the Pfizer court as a reliable source. And then they also have this wonderful revelation, and I'm sure you all will be shocked to learn, that the attempts to deceive the Pfizer court included a pre-election development of a dossier by Christopher Steele in Fusion GPS, which, by the way, most of the information that Christopher Steele used, it came from Russian operatives in the Russian government. So let's just pause for a moment and think for a moment to think about this, that the information that was produced, that the goal of which was to damage President Donald Trump, it came from Russian governmental operatives. Okay, you want part B of this equation? Yet CNN et al., that would be all of the Talking Snake media, wants you to believe this same Donald Trump, who the Russian government sought to prevent from winning, this same Donald Trump sought the Russian government's help to win the presidency. Try that hat on for size. Of course, the Talking Snake media won't let you in on any of that. Oh, no. That perhaps is probably part of the reason why Nancy Pelosi was having heart palpitations that this stuff was going to come out. But in addition to that, there were the accumulation of post-election information that was added to this dossier that Senator Grassley has now revealed that it came through the State Department. Can't make this stuff up. The State Department served as the errand boy for the Clinton campaign because one of Hillary Clinton's, as the memo says, close associates fed the information to the State Department, and the State Department fed the information to Christopher Steele. Yes. This is all in the memo, and I'm going to post this letter or this memo from Senator Grassley on the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page once the program is over, because it's quite the tasty morsel. And so we have not only the Department of Justice under President Obama, not only the FBI under President Obama, we now have the State Department under President Obama involved in this debacle. Are you feeling that good old liberty? Does anybody want to sing the national anthem now? How about God Bless America? No, not feeling it. This is a bit disconcerting, to say the least. In addition to that, we have this wonderful story. And pinch me if you heard this storyline before. All right? I'm gonna try to float this one by you, all right? This is going to be a fastball on the outside corner, so you know where it's coming. Tell me if you heard this narrative before. International globalists seek to sabotage the results of 2016 election. Have you heard that before? Does that sound familiar? Oh, no, I'm not talking about America. No. What I'm talking about, let me give you the rest of it. Left-wing billionaire George Soros is pumping in hundreds of thousands of dollars into a campaign looking to sabotage British voters' 2016 decision to leave the European Union. Mr. Truss, if you would, play for the people. We're going to do this one for the people. Play for the people. Clip number one, please.
What's not been said this morning, and I think is relevant, is that the funding of these investigations came from one George Soros. Now, I say this at a time, I'm going to come back to so what, and it may have some personal interest for you as well. I say this at a time when the use of money and the influence it may have had on the Brexit result or the Trump election has reached a level of virtual hysteria. I just wonder, when we're talking about offshore money, when we're talking about political subversion, when we're talking about collusion, I wonder whether we're looking in the wrong place. And I say that because George Soros recently gave Open Society, his organisation, which of course campaigns for free movement of peoples and supports supranational structures like the European Union, he recently gave it $18 billion. And his influence here and in Brussels is truly extraordinary.
Pause it right there.
If we're going to have a debate.
Now, you heard Nigel Farage, and this is the thing. This audio is from November of 2017, with Nigel Farage speaking before the European Union Parliament. Oh, and it gets more tasty than that you already heard. But all the way back in November, Nigel Farage was ringing the bell saying that, listen, these people are dragging their feet on Brexit. They're dragging their feet on Brexit because they're international monetary forces that are attempting to thwart the will of the British people. The British voted to leave the European Union, but there are powerful globalist forces that want to prevent it from happening. Today, the UK Telegraph is reporting, yesterday, the UK Telegraph reported that George Soros has delivered £400,000, that's the equivalent of $560,000 American dollars, to the anti-Brexit movement called, quote, Best for Britain campaign, via his Open Society Foundations. So on top of the $18 billion, Nigel Farage just told you that George Soros has committed to the European Union, all right? And I'm sorry, through its Open Society Foundation to thwart Brexit. Just this past week, there's another $500,000 that George Soros has devoted, has deposited into the Best for Britain campaign's coffers through his Open Society Foundation. Now, I want to just bring you, because this is a pretty extensive story, but I want to tell you how it's being reported by the Telegraph. The Telegraph reports that the Best for Britain movement is planning mass rallies, concerts, have you heard those before? Guerrilla marketing tactics, and efforts to pressure MPs into voting against the Brexit deal once negotiations are complete. So let me explain this. MPs, if you're not aware, MPs are members of parliament. They are the British equivalent to our congressmen, our congress members, right? So when it's indicated that Soros plans to put pressure on MPs, there will be multiple forms of pressure. It will be threats to have people run against them in the next elections, but there will also be threats of withdrawing funding from those that Soros already has on his bankroll and offering funding to others. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I'm going to go back. So they will put efforts to pressure MPs into voting against a Brexit deal once negotiations are complete, so as to trigger either a second referendum on Brexit or a general election to oust Prime Minister Theresa May's Conservative government in favor of one led by hard left Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn. Good old Georgie Porgy. Georgie Porgy was his name. Using his money. This is amazing that this is happening to me. Just as the internationalist globalist efforts are looking to thwart the American 2016 presidential election, you have the exact same thing happening across the Atlantic Ocean, to where though the British people said, we want no more to do with this European Union, we want out. And in spite of all of the polling that said Brexit would fail horribly, in spite of all of the predictions, the Britons voted 52-48 to get out of the European Union. But again, the similarities, it's amazing that these globalists, not content to abide by the will of the people, they say, oh no, we must have a second referendum. Oh Lord. Kind of like in America, even though there was a lot of egg on faces all across the fruited plain on television. And the American people said, oh no, we will not do the pantsuits maven. Oh no. When we have people like Hillary Clinton who will tell us, and I think people forget about this, because you have all of this anti-Trump animosity and they present it as if Trump was running against himself. Like Trump is just, you know, he's on the treadmill in the gym all alone. Ah, you're going 5 on the treadmill. Let's slow it down. He's going too fast. Trump was running against a person. Some might argue that it wasn't a person, but I digress momentarily. Now, Hillary Clinton said that if you have well-held beliefs, religious beliefs, but if they do not comport with public policy, you have to change your beliefs. When Hillary Clinton got on national television and said she had no problem with babies being killed up until they are delivered, people said, oh, no, it's like a cartoon when the eyes open, you're doink, doink. People's eyes open and said, oh, no, we can't abide this. And you have certain forces that I don't know, maybe named Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, that says, hey, we need an insurance policy just in case this dude wins to make sure that if he does win, we can get him out of there. And the very same things are happening over the pond. That you have George Soros dropping $18 billion in 2017. And then in 2018, already having given $500,000 to the Best for Britain movement to thwart the Brexit plans so that once the negotiations are done, they start this propaganda campaign to turn the hearts of the British away from Brexit. That's what they're going to try to do. Even though the British commitment amongst the regular people, their commitment to Brexit is just as feverish as it was when the vote was made back in 2016. Because they want out. But you see these international globalists, they're like Jennifer Hudson in the Dreamgirls movie. And I'm telling you, I ain't going nowhere. They're like, nah, you're not getting out of this. Once EU, always EU. That's what they're telling them. And the reason why I'm presenting this is I want us to be keenly aware of what internationalist, globalist elite think of you. Now, this was a free election in Britain that the people, if they wanted to stay in the EU, they could have chosen to do so. They said, we want out. And the elite say, no, you don't really know what's best for you. You don't know what you really want. Let's give it some time. Let's give you some more information so you can come over to the right conclusion. Does that sound familiar? We have to get to the point where we realize that these people care nothing for you nor your will. They think they know best. It's kind of like when Michelle Obama said that if you're a black person in America and you get to vote, it doesn't matter who the person is on the ticket. It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what they've done in their past. None of that matters. All that matters is that they are Democrats. And if they are Democrats, they are the best ones for you. Yet she's unaware of how condescending and insulting that is. So you mean to tell me that I can't think, I can't reason, I can't research, I can't understand? No, if they have a D by their names, if you have skin color that happens to be a little darker than some other people, then they're best for you. That's a consistent thought process. Consistent thought process. Think about Jeremy Gruber, you know? When he said concealment is a great asset to get this passed because the American people are too dumb to know what's best for them. This is what they really believe. And I just wanted you to know that regressivism is an international epidemic. It's not just an American condition. Regressivism is not limited to the American land. Regressivism is all the world over, yet they share a similar ideology, which is why as much as they like to conceal it, it is nothing more than Marxism. That these people are Marxists at their core, and in spite of Marxism's consistent failure the world over and producing the bloodiest century in human history in the 20th century, they still press for it. Why? Because the touchstone of Marxism is that man with his elite super leaders get to play the role of God.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program that's been around for 25 years, and they have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $1 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money. Think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have a lot to offer? Well, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Why is the inspiration of Scripture so important? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes, "All Scripture is inspired by God." That God divinely directed the 40 human authors of the Bible is foundational, because if He didn't, then Scripture is the words of fallen men and not the true Word of God. The good news is that God didn't create everything and leave us in the dark about His character and will. He inspired a book so we can know who He is and how we should follow Him. In other words, He is the God who speaks. Hear an interview and preview the just-released feature-length documentary film, The God Who Speaks, at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss prioritizing in a culture of distraction.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Many schools across the country sponsor Powder Puff football games. The girls put on pads and helmets, and the guys dress up like cheerleaders. Good-natured tradition. A tradition that's generating some controversy at Chaffey High School in Ontario, California. School leaders have decided to forbid the boys' pep squad from dressing up like cheerleaders. A school spokesperson tells television station KABC there are sensitivities on all sides of an issue, and they prefer to err on the side of protecting students. It's not exactly clear who has a problem with the boys dressing up in the short skirts and waving pom-poms, certainly not the boys. One parent said the school was trying to protect certain students. Students and parents are really upset, and they're urging the school to reconsider, but the decision's already been made, once again proving that the power of certain demographics is nothing to shake your pom-poms at. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
If we're going to have a debate and we're going to talk about full political and financial transparency, well, let's do it. So I should be writing today to all 226 of you, asking some pretty fair questions. Have you ever received funds directly or indirectly from Open Society? How many of their events have you attended? Could you please give us a list of the meetings of all the representatives, including George Soros yourself? And I think this Parliament should now set up a special committee to look into all of this. And I say that because I fear we could be looking at the biggest level of international political collusion in history.
History. That was Nigel Farage on the floor of the European Union's Parliament in November of 2017 saying that you blessed brethren, that's not what he said, but saying that I know that George Soros is influencing you, and if we really want to get down to the bottom of it, let's bring out all of your meeting times and see how much money you have received personally from George Soros to fund your political lives, and we'll really get to see how much truth is to what I'm telling you right now. Boy, Nigel Farage don't play. Does not play. So he was doing that in an effort to expose the fact that you have powerful internationalist, globalist forces that were attempting to frustrate the will of the British people and to thwart their effort to leave the European Union. But George Soros is saying, he's not letting it happen. We will open the phone lines this segment, but before we do, I guess let me give the number now. If you want to be a part of the program, you can do so to call to discuss anything we've been talking about today by calling 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. All right. And just in case you didn't have enough information to make you feel fantastic, you have Eric Holder, former attorney general for 6 years under former President Barack Obama, who was speaking at a breakfast sponsored by the Christian Science Monitor, where he announced he was considering running for president in 2020. Doesn't that give you all the warm and fuzzies? Oh, yeah. He said he is considering running for president, but he has not concluded what he's going to do. He says, quote, "I think I'll make a decision by the end of the year about whether or not there's another chapter in my government service." Coming from Mr. Fast and Furious himself, Eric Holder. In additional comments he made at this breakfast when he was asked various questions, he was specifically asked about the decision by Attorney General Jeff Sessions to offer the apology from the Justice Department for all the Tea Party groups who were targeted by the IRS under Lois Lerner. And this is what wonderful former Attorney General Holder had to say. Quote, "That apology was unnecessary, unfounded, and inconsistent, it seems to me, with the responsibilities that somebody who would seek to lead the Justice Department should have done." End quote. Can't believe it, right? He went on to explain that the initial probe into whether or not Lois Lerner and the IRS had done anything wrong, it cleared the IRS. He admitted that saying while there was bungling, now tell me if you've heard this one before. I feel like I'm saying this all day today. Tell me if you've heard this one before. He said while there was bungling, you know, of course, nothing, you know, just a little bungling. He said there was no, quote, ill intent. Have you heard that one before? There was no ill intent. The probe specifically cleared former IRS senior executive Lois Lerner, saying rather than a problem, she was actually a hero reporting the bad practices when she spotted them. All of this in spite of the fact that AG Sessions reversed that finding and ended up reaching settlements with the Tea Party groups over the last year, especially settlements that singled out Lois Lerner for having specifically approved of the intrusive behavior and hid those practices from those in Washington who were set to supervise her. Now, this is absolutely hilarious. I can't believe this man had the nerve to say that when it has been proven that Lois Lerner okayed, and I believe it goes higher than Lois Lerner, but let's just stick with her because it's already been proven, that she specifically sought for the IRS, any of the groups that were attempting to get tax-free status with the IRS, if they had words like patriot, words like American, words like Tea Party in their names to make sure that they don't get established as a nonprofit organization in the country. And he has the nerve to say, well, I don't think Jeff Sessions' apology on behalf of the Department of Justice was necessary. Yet he wants to run for president. Oh, isn't that cute? He wants to run from president. Of course, there are so much more I could say about Eric Holder, but I just thought you'd be interested to know that he's considering running for president. Ooh, good gracious. We'll go to the phone lines. 888-589-8840 is the number to call if you want to be a part of the program. 888-589-8840 is what you want to dial. We'll start off in Ohio, home of Jim Jordan, where Joe is on the line. Thank you, Joe, for calling the Hamilton Corner. You are welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, we're very proud of the hard work that Jim Jordan's been doing. Also, I wanted to agree with you. I had 2 points to make. I wanted to agree with you on Rand Paul. I think it's good that we do have, you know, some conservatives standing up and saying that, you know, the spending needs to stop. I mean, the budget We need to balance the budget. The spending, overspending needs to stop. The sad thing, I think, is that the difference between Chuck Schumer and some of these Rhino, McConnell, McCain, Flake, Collins, Murkowski, and these a lot of these Republicans are just as willing to spend as the Democrats are willing to tax and spend. So I think that's sad. And then I was going to ask, I heard the funniest thing today. I heard a segment on Rush Limbaugh while I was driving to work. Did you happen to listen to any of the Rush Limbaugh show today?
No, I didn't. No,
He had one of the funniest segments on there. Funniest thing I've heard since you played your clip of the Schumer shutdown on the White House answering machine. The Adam Schiff, big liberal from California, with ties to Soros. Two Russian comedians
had
called his office and spoke to him and said, "We have nude photos of Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin has them. He wants to either try to blackmail Trump or sell him to the highest bidder. Are you interested?" And I guess Schiff went for it, hook, line, and sinker.
He jumped at
it. It's the funniest thing. Cause the liberals are so obsessed with bringing down Trump at all costs. And everybody around the world, I mean, granted, we've got some low-information voters in America still. We need to educate. But even, people all the way around the world realize the liberal agenda, the fake news, the false narrative, and they're actually got comedians cashing in on the liberal, false narrative. And these comedians got him hook, line, and sinker.
They did. Joe, thank you for your call and your comments. Yeah, I was aware of that. I didn't hear that on the on Rush's program. But I did know that, there's so much. I only have an hour that I can get to. But that was hilarious. Maybe we'll try to get some audio from that and air that on this program. But it was absolutely hilarious. And to your first point, that it blows my mind that how quickly it appears to me that the Republican Party, historically the party of fiscal responsibility, has become just as free spenders. And I know it's not recently, but they have become just as free spenders as the Democrat Party. So back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Iowa, where Marty is on the line. Marty, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Alexander. Hey, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you and how wonderful Trump's doing. And I'm using your verbiage. I think you got it from someone else's. Talking snake media comes out of my mouth constantly, plus Republicrats.
Yes.
And the thing that I just wanted to say was about, Mitch McConnell. He is, I'm praying for him. I'm a Christian man. I know we're supposed to, but this is an anger that is so frustrating to see a man licking his finger to find out which way the wind's blowing and showing no signs of principle whatsoever. And I'm grateful that I'm coming from a state where Chuck Grassley's involved, and that he's from my state of Iowa. Joni Ernst, Representative Steve King. Mm-hmm. Wonderful people who are standing on the principles of God and fighting a talking snake media.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough about Rand Paul doing his work and shutting this down. And I say it's great. Shut down the government and let these fools whine and complain like the Chucky Schumers. Let them cry. And again, I'm praying for Chuck. He needs all the prayers in the world. I want every one of us to be in eternal glory with Christ. But it's not through rebellion. Although we all rebel, Jesus loves us all, and we need to be praying for these leaders, but yet standing firm that they got the finger in the air and not standing on any type of principle.
You're right, Marty. Thank you so much for your call and your comments. I'd have to tell you, that when I say talking snake media, that phrase was coined by AFR's own Brian Fisher. So I heard it from him. And ever since I heard it, I have not been able to think of anything that more accurately defines them than that. And so I don't want anybody to get any misconceptions. That is not my original phrasing. Brian Fisher came up with that. And it is so appropriate in describing what they are. The talking, literally. Just as the snake was slithered on up to Eve, well, I'm walking then, according to the Bible, and deceived her, that this is what these people have become. And I know I covered this information about George Soros, for example, because I can assure you, you're not going to hear this on any of the mainstream talking snake media. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear any of the talking snake media talking about the fact that the budget proposal coming from the Senate includes a complete suspension of the debt limit. You know why? Because they don't care. They don't think it's important. You also won't hear about the information contained in Chuck Grassley's memo from the Senate. You know why? Let me explain this to you. When you have people whose worldview allows them to advance an ideology where the ends justify the means, it doesn't matter to them that anything used to thwart President Trump started with a lie. It doesn't matter to them that they would corrupt the FBI in that process and lie to a court. Why? Because they have moral relativism, whereas their highest objective, their highest agenda item is opposing President Trump. So if that requires them to, I don't know, completely turn our law enforcement agencies on their head, completely corrupt the process that we use to catch terrorists, you know, if it requires corrupting the federal government and the FBI and the State Department, no matter, because they live by the phrase that if you're going to make an omelet, you got to crack a couple eggs. So, you know, who cares if we end up actually injuring the institutions that make this great country a great country? If in their mind, the goal of stopping Trump is more important, then they have no problem destroying the country in the process. Very similar to, and this is not a direct analogy, but very similar to if they have a goal for, and I'm just going to be blunt with this, rampant sexual encounters with no consequences. And if they need to kill babies in the process of pursuing that objective, well, what's it to them if you end up having to kill babies? Because the goal is, y'all get what I'm saying. See, that's the worldview. And it's kind of difficult if you don't understand that to be able to even have a legitimate conversation. Because in their minds, it's not important. That's why they won't cover this stuff. In their minds, it doesn't matter to them that George Soros is dropping billions of dollars to frustrate the will of the British public. Because, well, they made the wrong choice. They don't know the EU is good for them. So who cares? They don't care if, you know, by pursuing this Trump-Russia collusion lie, they end up attempting to thwart the entire 2016 election because American people made the wrong choice. Back to the phone lines. We go back or next to the great state of Texas where Mary is on the line. Mary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate your show. I would like to know, where did George Soros make his money that he never runs out?
Yeah.
Billions he spent.
Good
in
question.
The years past.
Yeah, George Soros, thank you for your question, Mary. George Soros is a hedge fund manager and investment banker. George Soros makes his money through the stock market in investing billions of dollars. And, you know, this is one of those things where the body of Christ has to develop the similar type of resolve where he has pledged. He is so committed to his open society. He really believes that the world should be borderless, nationless, that there should be no such thing as borders in countries. He created his Open Society Foundation, that he has committed a percentage of his annual income to do nothing more than create his globalist panacea all over the world. That's why you see him dropping billions of dollars in the Brexit elections, and he also spent hundreds of millions of dollars all across the United States to make sure Democrat candidates for district attorney's offices all over the country were elected. Because he's putting his money where his mouth is. And so he makes his money off the stock market. So benefiting from the policies from President Trump and the stock market going through the roof actually puts more money in George Soros' pocket to do his dastardly deeds. And in case you're wondering, this dude, I don't say this often, but this man literally is one of the closest personifications of evil I've experienced in my lifetime. Because if you hear him speak, you hear him talk, it's like he's aware that he's accomplishing evil objectives and he gets pleasure from doing it. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for tuning in.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.